Thank you. So this morning, obviously because I'm standing here, we're going to be going in English, if that's okay for everyone. Engels for ochend. Yeah, so let's pray before we jump into the word here and what's hopefully on God's heart. Lord Jesus, thank you that you have brought us into a place where we can know you, where we can know you personally, that you've created this way for us so that we can experience you, see you, experience your growth within our hearts, experience everything that you offer, and also to take it and run with it. And I really pray this morning that we will experience your heart again, that we will see you for who you truly are and not what the world is painting, but that we will see you and that there will be a response from our side. I really pray that you will have your way with all of us this morning and during the week, and then in the midst of that, we'll experience your faithfulness and your goodness and what you desire for us as your people. Thank you that we can pray this in your name. Amen. If you haven't seen or heard or the past couple of weeks, it's been quite clear there's been a kind of a message or a thread that has been, yeah, on God's heart, I believe, and has been coming through in different ways, whether it's a sermon or in the cell group or worship or in whichever way, shape, or form. I've seen God's heart pretty clearly. And it's two headings, if I can put it that way, is the way that we serve one another, the way that we are with one another as a body or as a church, as a group of people that is called out for a specific purpose. And then also God's character, who he is. And last week's sermon with Anton was brilliant. If you hadn't watched it, go watch it there on YouTube. It was addressing the sovereignty of God or who God is. What comes to mind when you think of the word God? Oh, and there's so many pictures that can come up as a result of this world and all its mess and its noise and all the ideas and opinions. But who is God truly? Who is he truly? And during this week, I've been reminded again of one of our designs as people. We have been designed to worship. And this is what we're going to be looking at this morning, worship. This word worship, where in the Christianese language, you know, we've got all this terminology and we know these words, but what is it really? What is true worship? And where does it come from and how does it look and how can we as people take it? So we're going to be looking at worship. Big question mark there because it's a good question. What is worship? And I think for starters, one thing that we do need to know that we have been designed to worship. That's our design. That's the way that we have been created. And it's a weird thing because it's two things. It's kind of like a response, but it's also a choice. And I don't know how that works, but it works that way. Because, well, let me give the definition first of worship. It might help just to give a bit of a platform or a framework to work from. So worship is, I'm placing something of high value, or it becomes my priority. And as a result of this thing or someone being of high value or higher priority above all things, I worship it. So it comes from the word worth, so it's worthy. And this is why I say we are designed to worship. We're going to be worshiping, whether it is now in the Christian way, it is all about worshiping God and we sing about it, we read about it. But if we are a believer or not a believer, we are still worshiping. Because somewhere, somehow, we are placing something or someone a higher value above everything else. And as a result of placing that thing or making that thing or someone a priority, there's a response. There's actions, there's deeds, there's things that's on our lips. So worship, the word worship, it is again, it's a response of putting something or someone priority or above everything else in our life. And so you see this throughout the thread from the beginning to the end, that it, if we look at us people, we are just worshiping. We are worshiping something or someone through this world, and it forms how we live, how we speak, how we are with our children, how we are not also. So we're going to be jumping in a little bit into worship, and I realized this week, I said, this thing, I know what it's like to worship things. I didn't always know the Lord, and I worshipped a business, I worshipped money, I worshipped my reputation, and without saying a deliberate choice of, I'm going to choose to worship this thing, no, it was a natural outflow as a result of the way that I've been created. I've been created to worship, so naturally, slowly but surely, I choose things that this is important to me. This thing is taking high priority, and as a result of that, it influences and it forms my lifestyle. And so I do, let's put it as it, what are some of the things that we worship in this world? Money, God, sport. What are the other things that can become a high priority or something that we value above all things? Family, cars, self, what else? Business. And say again, power, reputation. Oh, reputation is a big one. So let's say I've got this desire of a lifestyle, and I've got this idea of what kind of lifestyle that I want, and that becomes my thing of worship. I place it, it's high value, I want this certain lifestyle. As a result of me worshiping that idea, what's going to happen? I'm going to put all my effort, all my choices, all my everything, so that that God will become a reality in my life. And then the same is with our God. If He becomes higher, the most valuable above all things, we will put all our action, all our time into that, into Him, where everything serves that. So there's two ways of worship, and I think sometimes we get this quite wrong. If we hear the word worship, we normally see hands in the air or a psalm that we are singing or a band that is playing, and that is one form of it. So singing, lips, praise, that's the one form of worship, and we see it throughout the word, and that's good. It needs to be there, and it's beautiful. It's pleasing to the Lord. But the other form of worship is our acts and our deeds, what we do. And so I can, in the midst of my everyday work, play, sport, I can worship. I'm worshiping. Now the question is, yeah, okay, is sport bad? Is cars a bad thing? Is business bad? Is it evil? Is family evil? Is it bad? No, it's beautiful. And so one thing that I've been challenged and reminded of this week is, as a human being in this world where everything can become so self-centered, our priorities is Dimakar. We're rather seeing as my family, how can we as a family worship something more incredible than ourselves? How can we take our business and in such a way say, oh God, I'm worshiping you, Lord. I want all of you. I want to know you. I see that you are worthy. I've experienced your ways. I've experienced your love, your desires. I've experienced you tangibly. As a result of that, I'm placing you higher above all else in my life. And you know what? I want to take my business. I want to take my family. I want to take my finances, my reputation, and all of that. I want to use that to serve you. And then the opposite is, I'm going to do everything in my power. I'm going to use people. I'm going to use my capacity so that I can serve my business or my reputation or my car or my body. Health is also a massive God that we've created. I struggled through this week. I said, Lord, what is on your heart? What do I share? How do I, like, and I might be speaking so dear Makar at the moment, But I was so shaken how subtly and naturally and very softly we can serve or we can worship in this world and it's not our God. But we use the right words. We've got all the right terminology. And quickly turn to Matthew 15. We're going to come to the pointers. And so what I'm trying to say is while you go to Matthew 15, verse 8, worship is inevitable in this world. It's because the way that we've been designed. The question is what are we worshiping? Or who are we worshiping? And we will know in our hearts, what are we placing in our life high above anything else? What is the greatest value in your life at the moment? What is the priority in your life at the moment? And in the Christian context, you look at Matthew 15, and it's a scary scripture. 8 and 9 says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men." So this is quite heavy, and it's not so lekker. But this is, I've been seeing through this throughout the world in churches everywhere where people have got all the right words, all the right this, all the right that. The teachings are there. It's all incredible Christian stuff. But the hearts are far from Him. And so while I'm praising God and putting up my hand and reading scripture and listening to teachings, my highest priority is actually that I wanted that certain lifestyle. And so as a result of worshiping that certain lifestyle, everything is toward that. And my actions, my deeds, my words, my everything, the way that I handle my family, my workers, the everything is needs to serve that. And I'm hoping God can bless it. God, please bless that. Oh God, please help me so that I can attain that. And then God becomes a tradition that we see in this world all over. What is in my heart will determine what I worship. This is throughout the whole Word, the whole Bible. We look at it from the beginning to the end. We see what is in our heart is what we worship. And this is why I say it's such, I don't know how these two work together, but it's somehow that's how God works. He's, you know, He's completely humble, but at the same time, He's completely strong and stern. He's completely gentle, but at the same time, He's completely strong. And these two always work together. And somehow God does that. He allows things to work together. So worship is this natural response of what is highest priority within my heart. So whatever I'm choosing as a highest priority, as a result of that, I'm going to worship it. But at the same time, I need to make a choice what is my highest priority. So it's a choice and a response. And in this world, there's a lot of noise. There's a lot of demands, and life is tough, and it's easy to choose things within this world so that it could just be a little bit easier. Look at the whole Word of God from beginning to end. If you look at it from the people's perspective, if you look at the people throughout the Word, let's not think about God and His character, but if you look at the people in the Word from beginning to end, it's one story of worship. Not worship of a God all the time. It was that, they worshiped this, God disciplined them and said, come back. Then they worshiped Him, and it was good, and it was pleasing. And then they chose something else, and they worshiped. And throughout the whole Word, from Genesis to Revelation, it is one story of worship going back and forth. And as a result of what they worship, it formed their way, their life. It formed their community. It formed their families. It formed everything. Whatever they worshipped, there was a result. It formed something. And I don't see God as this God, this arrogant, yo, you guys just need to worship me, spend all your time on me. He said, I know what you need. I know what your family needs. And the only way that you're going to be formed in my likeness is if you put me on high priority, high value above all things, so that as a result of that, your lifestyle will be formed. And as a result of your lifestyle being formed, your family will be different. Your community might change. The church might look different. It wasn't so that he could just get all the praise and glory, and he's worthy of that too. He's definitely worthy of that. So what is in our heart is definitely going to form us. And it's going to bring us to a place of what we are worshiping. But at the same time, we've got a choice what we allow to be high priority in our life. So there is a responsibility. One thing that I was reminded of again, there's two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of God. And then there's another kingdom. You either make a choice to be there or you don't. And from what I understand, if I look at it correctly and I'm convinced of it as a result of being in that other kingdom, living a life without God, being there for many, many years, experiencing the fruit of that, and now being with God and knowing Him intimately in a personal relationship, and I'm convinced in the other kingdom there is another king. And it's an enemy of God. Not of me, of God. And these two kingdoms, like these old school movies where they're in a battle. But the only difference is this other kingdom, subtly, softly, misleading, not this bombastic, it's slowly, surely, subtly leading me to worship something else. So that a lifestyle can be formed as a result of what I worship, so that I would be taken further away from the one who is worthy of being worshipped truly and who wants to form, who wants to develop, who wants to create a different lifestyle so that his people would be in a different position that we are in at the moment in this world. Look at the fruit and the results of worshipping money, worshipping business, worshipping all these other things. The world is not in a good place at the moment. And it's because somehow, somewhere, we as people have been misled to make things of higher value, high priority in our life. And as a result of that, became an act of worship where it formed a lifestyle. And there was many things that came as a result of that. Many things, and still happening today. So the enemy in the other kingdom has only got one plan. What's that one plan? To keep us from God. Steal, kill, and destroy. That's the only thing that he wants to do, is to steal, kill, and destroy. Are we seeing stealing, killing, and destroying throughout this world? Clear, very clear to me. That's his one plan. So if in my heart I have got a different priority other than God, there's only two ways. If I've got a different priority or something else that is above God, what is the result going to be? Stealing, killing, and destroying. That's the enemy's plan. There's no other way. It's not just me. And he will use it however long he must, that it can look hunky-dory, that peaches and cream and everything is going my way. But there's going to come a point where things is going to break. That is the plan of the enemy, unfortunately. And when I say break, I mean stealing, killing, and destroying. Completely away from God and eternally in a different place. And God says, I want to form you. And so we've been looking at this. We've been looking at it when we worship God, when we place Him of higher value as a congregation, as people, we do things differently. But we don't see that all the time in the churches all over. We see a bunch of things being said, nice actions, all these projects. But a heart? Well, according to Matthew 15, we haven't seen the heart all the time. But we've heard the right words. And that is scary. And from what I understand is because there was different priorities. And so there's only one way for that, that's stealing, killing, and destroying. Something's going to break somewhere, somehow. I've seen it in my family, even while knowing God, loving Him, desiring Him, walking with Him. But slowly, subtly, something else became a priority in my life. Whether it was reputation, whether it was a certain lifestyle, whether it was me, myself, and I. And I was praising God. The lips were saying it, but the heart was there on something else. And the fruit was disastrous. And that is the enemy's plan. So, this morning, before we get there, there's a couple of examples of extremely bad worship of things where it was disastrous. And then you see a couple of guys throughout the Word that truly worshiped God. David, one of them. Jesus, Joseph, Moses. There's a bunch of people within the history of this Word that chose God as a higher value above all else, and as a result of that, worshipped Him, put their everything into that. Whether they had a business, if the business was to serve Him, to reveal Him, to show His glory, to reveal His character, to bring people together, to help the poor, to help the broken. And David, in the midst of his heart, so a man known as a man after God's heart, God was the highest value. You see it throughout his whole story. This guy that just worshipped God. Not only with psalm and sing and praise, but his whole lifestyle. En het hy droog gemaak? Did he make mistakes? Yes. Often. What was his act of worship when he made a mistake? Repentance. Lord, I'm sorry. I this is disastrous. And was there consequences? There was. But it was okay. It's good. But as a result of God being the highest value in his heart, he realized that, I repent. That's an act of worship. Repentance is an act of worship. Loving one another, the way that the Word speaks of it, is an act of worship. Why? Because he is the highest priority and he sees that that is good. And if I do this, he is pleased. That's what he says. And so this morning, I want to create an invitation, and I don't want to speak too long. I've spoken already too long. My words is there and here and this and that, and I hope it's a little bit clear of what I'm trying to bring across here. But one fruit of worshiping a true God, the God from the beginning to the end, is faithfulness and stability. I've seen this in David's life, in Joseph, in the midst of a prison, being thrown, being a slave. He's even got the keys to get out, but he doesn't because he said, well, my God is with me. And he has somehow placed me in the midst of this because it's a bigger picture. I see there was just this faithfulness in Joseph throughout Joseph's story. David's story, Moses' story, Jesus' story, Paul, whoever it is, there was this faithfulness as a result of, I know my God. Personally, I know him. And this is what Anton was talking about last week. Who is he? Do we know his character? And if we get to know his character, there's going to be a natural response. We're going to place him of higher value. We will. But if we don't know him, we're going to get caught up slowly, subtly, being misled, desiring other things above him, and then hopefully he can bless it. That is not God. That's not the, as Anton said, we try to use him as the man upstairs or the old boss. God is bigger than that. He's more than that. And the reality of being in a place of knowing him, loving him, worshiping him, something happens within our hearts. So it's a two-way thing. It's a natural response. And when we do that, our how everything changes with inside. And you know, I cannot convince you of that. You will know that. If you've been in a position where you have experienced God, it's like, wow, this is real. I can talk blue, but you will know that you know. And as a result of that, you will worship. So, we have been designed to worship. Whether you like it or not, believe it or not, want it or not, we're going to worship. That's what's going to happen on our lips and our actions and our deeds. And it's not only the Christians that is using sing and praise of what they're worshiping. Go look at the music industry. You know, when I was back in the day listening to hip-hop, gangster rap, they were worshiping the mags of the cars and the girls that dance and the bling that they have. They sing. That's all they sing about. Why? Because that was the desire that they, that was the thing that they placed high value. So they, that was their worship song. Klink belachlik, maar dis maar, it's basically what it is. And everything went into that so that I could attain that because that's what I want. This is my God. So I want to create an opportunity for us just to be still for a bit. I've spoken too long. Just to be still for a bit and allow God to talk to us if we're in a position and a posture for that to happen. Of asking, what have I placed of higher value in my life? What is the things or the one or the who, the whatever that I am worshiping at the moment? And allow Him to speak to us about that. And then I want to create an invitation for a few things here. So the first is there anything that is in your heart of higher value than God that you are worshiping, that is forming your lifestyle, that is bearing bad fruit? So again, that's a bunch of words. Is there something that is higher value that is forming your lifestyle, which is not God our Father? If there is, it's a steal, kill, and destroy situation. And I think God wants to help us in that. He wants to say, I don't want you to go down that road. I want you to come back because I want you to be safe. I want you to know who I am. I've got a plan and it's good and it's incredible. Come back. Put that thing one side. And again, are these things bad? No. They just mustn't be the highest priority. It must be used for the highest priority, whether it is business, finances, family, friends, sport, whatever it is. So that's one side. Please check our hearts. The other side is if you're in a position at the moment and God has overwhelmed you as a result of His goodness and you experience that, you know what? He is my highest priority and I'm worshiping, then bring it. And let the body pray with you in that, to celebrate with you, to pray with you and say, yes, I'm grateful with you that you're in this position, that God has brought you from there to here, that He is your highest valuable thing in your life and you are worshiping as a result. The first one, that. Second one, this. The third one is a story that I want to quickly read. And it's in Acts 8, 26 to 39. It's a story of an Ethiopian eunuch or an important official. Maybe you've read it, but let's quickly read it again. So, O Philip and the Ethiopian, it's called, Acts 2:26-39. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down all the way to Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of Ethiopians. I kind of thought, Candace, Ethiopian? I've been to those African countries. Sorry, Candace doesn't sound like it, but it is. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. So he had gone to Jerusalem, this Ethiopian guy, to worship. And on his way, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer, he is silent. So he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about? Is it himself or someone else? Then Philip began with the very passage of scripture and told him the good news of Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? So I'm assuming that Philip was telling him about the scripture, and there was this breakthrough moment. Okay, I understand. Because just before, he didn't understand. He had no, I'm reading it. I've just been there, but it's not making sense to me. It's all kind of just, nice words. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord took Philip away, and the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Something had happened in his heart. But the reality was that this Ethiopian was, just before that, he had known all these traditions of worship. He had been reading the word. He'd been at this place and he was worshiping there, according to the scripture. But then he said, I don't understand this stuff. Please, Philip, help me out here. And when he came together with Philip and the Lord did something there, there was this change, obviously, where he was baptized and he went away rejoicing. And I'm seeing this often in this world, that again, we are doing it with our lips. We've got all the right words. But is there that true understanding, that true rejoicing here in the Ethiopian's life later as a result of there was a breakthrough? So if we are, this is the other one. If you've been coming and you've been here and there's been worship of the lips, but still not 100% sure, what is God doing and who is he and what does he mean in this word? And you really want to, and you want to go away here rejoicing, changed, overwhelmed, seeing God for who he truly is, then I invite you. God is not a tradition. He was a tradition for that Ethiopian guy. And then he became his God, his true God that led him, that overwhelmed him. And there was a response of rejoicing. It wasn't a choice out of rejoicing. It was just a natural, whoa, I understand, I see. So these invitations, we're going to play a little bit of music for the sake of the silence and the awkwardness. And I want to create this invitation. What have you placed highest that is not God, that is forming your lifestyle? Bring it to the front. Come forward. And then the body, if you see someone in front, let's pray with one another. Why? Because God wants to set us free from these things that is entangling us and creating a lifestyle that is breaking this world. Worshipping things apart from God is breaking this world at the moment. And we see the fruit. It's evident. So, I really urge you, if you're sitting here, and I'm one of them, to be honest with you, in the midst of this world with a lot of stuff, a lot of pressure, a lot of things that I desire, I've chosen things higher than God, and it's formed my life. But God has brought me to a place like David. I see God. I repent. So, let's just be still for a moment and think of these three areas. And if there's others, that's fine. What are you placing higher than God?
It will form your lifestyle,
whether you like it or not.
And at the end of the day, it will steal, kill, and destroy.
The other one was, are you overwhelmed by God? And if so, come to the front and we want to thank God with you. And this is just an opportunity where the body can pray for one another, where God can minister to our hearts, where He can speak to us, where He can set us free from the things that is keeping us back, because He's got a good plan. And His plan is His plan, and He's inviting us into it. And it's beautiful. And the third one is, maybe you're an Ethiopian that desires true worship. And you've been going, and you've been worshiping, and you've been reading Scripture, but you don't truly understand it. That breakthrough or that understanding hasn't, that what he experienced hasn't happened yet. Then come to the front. We want to pray. We want to pray with you, for you. And then not only that, we want to connect you with a Philip. Because we all need a Philip. I still need a Philip now. So that we can go away rejoicing and saying, ah, you know what? This God is good. He's truly good. And I don't understand how it works that we can put things above Him when we truly know Him. I don't understand how it works, but it works that way in this world because we've got an enemy that is very sneaky. And I say we've got an enemy, but it's a subtle misleading, slowly but surely, without even knowing it, realizing, wow, I've placed that thing higher than you, Lord, and it's formed my life. It's forming my life at the moment. And it's breaking my family. It's breaking my business. It's because that is the plan. Steal, kill, and destroy. I want to put that in front here. And I want to repent. And I want to worship you and take everything that you have given me. And I want to use it so that you will be known. So that you will be glorified. A tool of worship. So let's be still. And ask the Lord to speak to us in our heart. And I urge you to be bold and allow the body to pray with you. Come to the front, sit in front, and then after that we'll finish up with a song. Oh Lord Jesus, I just pray that our hearts will be in a place of responding. That we will not be scared of what people think, but we will allow you to talk to us, Lord Jesus. We'll allow you to set us free, and we will not kind of just sit in this cage and experiencing the frustration and experiencing it and knowing it, and but not responding. Help us and talk to us and show us what is the things that we've placed higher than you, Lord, the things that we are worshiping. I pray it in your name. I just want to pray for us that if also there's an uncertainty of how do I use my business, my finances, how do I use that in such a way that it doesn't become my idol, that my God, my everything, but rather use it in such a way that it pleases our God. And I just want to pray for us that also, because it can be quite confusing, because we are in the midst of a business, we are in the midst of every day, and we need to be there, we need to work hard. But let us ask the Lord to help us in the midst of that. That how do we take what we are doing and honor Him? And find that beautiful balance of not choosing that as our priority, but using it to glorify our God. Lord Jesus, thank you that we can pray with one another. Thank you that we as a body can be together. Thank you that we can bring our things to the front and leave it here and go back free. Thank you that your ultimate plan is joy with you, freedom, no bondage, enjoying what we do, going through the tough times, enduring. Thank you that your plan and your ways are good. And this is why you invite us to bring these things and to leave it, so that we can be set free, so that we can experience your joy. But Lord, I also pray for wisdom for all of us. in the midst of our every day, in the midst of our every little bit that we are doing, that we would somehow have wisdom to do it in such a way that it honors you, where it doesn't become our focus and our idol, our God, but that it's been used to honor you, to bring glory to you, to reveal your character, to serve the broken, to help those in need. I pray that these things in this world will not become our highest priority, but that we'll always seek you first, Lord. That we'll seek you first. Let us stand and let us worship or sing this last song. And this last song, let it be a declaration maybe, or a prayer, a response and a desire as we walk out here, hopefully like an Ethiopian guy rejoicing because God is good. Lord Jesus, thank you for your heart. I pray that your heart will become ours. Yeah, amen. Come on, stand.